I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax, it's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullamparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Excited to get this guy. Surprised we were able to get him so soon after having a new baby, but it sounds like life is in a somewhat of a rhythm right now. This guy had an opportunity to launch one of our new sites in Bennington, Bunstown. So, or, you know, we call that a founding site. So pretty prestigious title to carry if you're looking him up in PAX. But I've got our man House Party on with me today. And it's good to see you. I would love to just hear kind of like that, that EH story, first workout, and then talk us through how you got the name House Party.
Yeah, for sure. Glad to be on here. Yeah, so soon after the baby's born, but glad to be actually working from home here for the next couple of weeks. So this will be nice, to be in the office here.
How old's the baby now? Just like a couple of weeks?
Three weeks today.
Okay, nice. Nice. Well, congrats.
So EH store, I actually had to look back at this a little bit. I've had a little bit of a journey here. This would be almost three and a half years now. I've been in F3, so a little bit of a lengthened journey for PsyQ action, but Al Borland actually EH'd me. So Al Borland and I went to college together. So okay. He one day decided to, you know, shot me a text to get me out. And I was like, sure, we can go try that. And first post would have been, I think it was at the Helix. So I actually went to go look back at the back blast to figure out who was on the queue and what it was like to get an experience, you know, because that's 3 years ago, three plus years ago now. And I actually don't remember a whole lot about that morning, other than I think I remember walking away being like, man, I thought I was in shape, but I am definitely not in shape.
Did you find a back blast out there for it?
I did not. There's actually a gap. The 9-7 is my date. There was one from the week before and one from the week after. So I'll have to get on pantyhose and whoever the psych key was. I meant to go try to look back at the Google sheet to see if we could figure out who it was, but I don't know if that's available to the world anymore.
I'll find it for you afterwards. What, 9-7 of 21?
21.
Okay, we'll find out who queued the Helix that day and give him a hard time for the back blast. Awesome. So tell us about how you got the name House Party, how'd they land on that?
Yeah, so House Party, there was a lot of stuff that was thrown out there, and like most people probably remember your first day there. It's just like, I don't know, you're trying to think of stories, you know, nothing too embarrassing right off the bat, just kind of slowly walk into it. And I know that Al Borland wanted me to talk about golf, and I didn't even mention that when I was coming up with stuff because I'm a big golfer. But actually, House Party came about from that is how I met my wife.
Okay. So, at a house party.
At a house party in college.
Okay. Got it. I was thinking of, isn't there some movie called House Party or like Kid and Play or something? I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a couple of them out there. You know, I get confused sometimes too with like Animal House.
Yep.
And that stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, talk us through, like, cause you've always seemed like you're in pretty good shape. What were you doing before F3? Like, were you active prior to that?
Not super active in any sort of regimented workout. I've always just been kind of a runner. Did cross country, middle school, high school. Didn't really do much of that in college, but you know, just every once in a while, if I wanted to go out and run, I just go run a couple miles just to get out and then be done. Maybe go a little too far and regret it at some point in time. Also kind of been a big biker for a long time. So I've always ridden bikes for races and different events that go on, fundraisers, things like that. So off and on, hit or miss, but nothing super regimented. I know that Al Borland always tried to get me out when we were in college to go up to the Hyper Center at UNO and lift weights. And I'm like, I'm not a weightlifting guy. You know, one day I would go through and we'd lift weights and do arms. And the next day it's like, oh man, I can't move my arms for like a week. So never been into the gym scene. So I think this has been a super good fit for me to try to, you know, always like being outside and staying active.
Yeah, heck yeah. Well, so you mentioned that first workout was pretty tough. What was your just like overall impression of this sort of early morning adult men's recess kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, you know, I've been an early morning person, but never usually outside. So like you're out in the dark. Like I knew one person, him and I were close. So it's like you kind of stay to that one person that you know to try to, A, we're probably catching up just because maybe we haven't seen each other in a couple weeks or a couple months. And then it's like, okay, what's a Merkin? What's a Grainer? I don't even remember what we were talking about, but you're like all these different names you're looking over. Okay, that's a push-up. Got it. Okay, nope, now I'm bringing my legs in. Okay. So it's just kind of like feeling out and try to figure out what, you know, what's going on. And people are, you're going through the credo, you're going through all the stuff in the beginning, and it's just like coming at you so fast. And now it's just like in the back of your mind here after 3 years, you know, yeah, I could, about what the credo is and all of it, you know, what everything is. Every once in a while, somebody will come up with a new exercise, but that in that moment, you're just, it's like coming at you like drinking through fire hose.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, that's a good perspective. I feel like, it's easy to like lose sight of that, right? You get a new guy and just the volume of like new lingo and just because it's a different, I haven't been anywhere else where there it's like the format is similar or really anything, right? It's like, you know, a lot of times it's self-paced, right? You go to the gym or of course I've never done like CrossFit or like a F45 or any of those. So maybe those are set up that way, but yeah, it's just like right away, all the new stuff.
Yeah.
So do you remember what was your progression like from there? Were you hooked right away or were you kind of like, yeah, that was fun, but I'm not going, I don't need to come back for a while? Or do you remember like, when was your second post?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back. I wish there was PaxNet back then because I could have logged all this stuff, but, I imagine that I probably didn't do knowing Wednesday at that time probably wasn't a site open or wasn't close to us. So I probably didn't do that. Maybe could have gone to the berm if Borland would have been like, hey, this is another Thursday site, and maybe could have seen probably something on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing me, I probably went and then I was hurting the next day and I was like, well, I don't need to go back and do that like 2 days in a row. Maybe like give myself a week and then I'll go back and slowly work my way into it. But that's kind of what I recollect from three and a half years ago.
Was there a moment like when you decided like, okay, I'm going to make this part of my routine, or what was that sort of transition like to where you were posting? I guess what did you get up to? Like, were you posting 2-3 times a week or more than that? Or
yeah, I think I know for sure by the time January came around, I was posting pretty regularly because I think that was my first diving into the 75 hard. Like okay. Toto got me hooked on that. So I think up to that, I was probably doing 3-4 times a week. I don't know that I ever got to the, you know, 5 or 6, never really gotten to that level yet, minus outside of 75 hard, just kind of knowing who I am. And, you know, I have put work forward for a lot of years that I usually lean to go to that, unfortunately, instead of doing things like this, just kind of the way I'm driven.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and I would say when I started, I was doing, well, we didn't have 6 workouts a week, but once, as soon as we did, right, I did six days a week. And then fairly quickly, my wife was like, okay, this is getting out of hand, you know, and then it was slowly. And then with each kid, right, it's sort of like tapered down and maybe, you know, so we're right now I'm 3 days a week, and that seems to be a good balance. 3-4 days a week if there's some special event that I want to go to. But what, as you think about just overall like fitness, kind of like that first F, where are you at today? Like, do you have different goals that you feel like you've met, or you feel like you're sort of in pretty good shape? Like, have you made progress through F3, you think?
Yeah, it's been kind of up and down. Looking at like the first year after, like, so, you know, 75R made it through the first time in 2022, I was probably at the best physical fitness and mental state like I've been maybe ever. And it was like, I could post 7 days a week, it'd be fine. The world's my oyster to work out, and I would feel fine and just go anywhere and do anything. I actually, in September of 22, so that kind of 1 year later, I actually learned that I had a double hernia.
Wow.
So that was like a very interesting kind of eye-opening perspective that I had to go through. I got a double laparoscopic surgery in October of that year. So I kind of took it down, I don't know, down in spiral. It's probably not the right word, but just kind of went downhill because you can't do anything. I'm sitting in a chair, eating terrible again, you know, drinking. And it's just like, oh, all that, you know, I get down to 150 or what I was. And now 3-4 months after that, you know, back up to 170 or whatever it was at the end of the year. So like, it was a pretty good fall off. And I feel like I still haven't gotten back to that, you know, where I was that like March, April, May timeframe, mentally and physically, just because like in the back of your mind, I think it's, I don't know if you can get back to that. Maybe it's, you know, now with my son here, you know, now it's just going to be turned into a time and a devotion thing, you know, but I love to get back to that because I remember like I was just such clear thinking and like everything just made sense and, you know, just kind of flowed. And then there was just speed bump that came along like everything else, you know, and then you just got to kind of work through it. And, you know, I think luckily my goal after that was to get to a point where I could do 75 hard again that January of 2023. So I was able to get back to be able to do that with limited stuff right at the beginning. And I think that was a huge thing. And that was a great thing that I had F3 because like I don't know if I injured myself because of F3. Doctor tells me it could have been from something I did 5-10 years ago, and I just started to aggravate like over time. So like if I wouldn't have had F3, you know, that probably would have been a pretty bad ordeal. Like I would have just been, there's nowhere to go other than you look at yourself. And if I wouldn't have had F3 to go to do a workout or like have, you know, mental just support, you know, talking to guys in the morning, you know, who knows where things could have gone for me.
Yeah. Wow.
So
yeah, I didn't realize that. So today you feel like you're maybe you've made progress, but maybe not back to that 2022 sort of peak.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And I think just after a couple of years of doing this, like I think physically I'm back to that point, like minus the last 3 weeks, I haven't posted a whole lot, but like, I think I could still go out there and I think I'm where I need to be fitness wise, minus, you know, maybe getting back into the swing of things with the new situation. Mentally, probably not there, but I think I've excelled, you know, we'll get into this about being a site to, you know, excelled in leadership that maybe has kind of made up for the things that, you know, I didn't really think about leadership back in 2022. I was just like, it was kind of about me and my, and, you know, I worked on that really, really hard. And now, you know, the leadership component. So that came along. So like I elevated that a little bit and maybe lost a little bit over here, but, you know, kind of equals out to almost being back to the same point. And, you know, priorities have started to change. So it, probably back to about equal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just be flexible with yourself, right? That having that little one now, you're going to be, you know, babies are so selfish. The only human being more selfish than me is a newborn baby. That's what I always say, but
I'm learning this very quickly.
You've mentioned a couple times, I want to just kind of zoom in a little bit, kind of this like mental health aspect, right? Which I couldn't agree more. Like I think is so important, but what do you, like when you talk about that, what do you mean? Or what do you sort of like, looking for, what's been your experience like in that sort of realm? Like, is it a like the fitness helps accelerate sort of that mental clarity piece, or the, or is it the, maybe it's the fellowship? I don't know, just to dive into that a little bit more. What's been your experience with kind of the mental battle?
Probably both a little bit. I think the fitness and just like being outside and getting outdoors is a huge thing in my mind. Like, you know, on days when I don't post, you feel like you're missing something. And I'm sure a lot of guys say this, but you know, it starts your day off right. You know, most days that I don't post, it's like I'm digging myself into work or family like right away. And there's just not like that mental break in the morning, you know, just kind of doing something for yourself. So I think that's a big part of it. One of the big things that I found when I was kind of going through it and starting to read more about different books is just like a, would focus a lot when I, before F3, about like kind of, not necessarily others, but a lot of things around me that, you know, you don't have control over. Like I would worry about, you know, something at work that could happen, you know, based on something that somebody else does. So one of the biggest breakthroughs I thought after that first stint, you know, in 2022 was kind of, you can't control what other people are doing. You can only control so much. So like once I cleared that out of my head, like in that mental space, it was just so freeing. Like, you know, and it was a really hard perspective to get to, like, because everybody wants to, you want to think about what ifs, all this other stuff. But at some point, you know, there's only so much you can control.
Yeah.
You know, people like my parents have told me that, like, there's only so much you can control, but like, I'm a pretty analytical person. So like, I like to think that there's a possibility that I can control some of that stuff, or like maybe I just let too much of it into my brain that, and it was just hard flushing it out.
Yeah.
And once I was able to kind of think about that and flushing things out and control what I can control and be in my own environment, that was a huge mental relief for me.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. I think that's so cool. And I guess I'm curious, like, what do you think, was there something you could pinpoint about F3, like the fact that you're showing up and it's a random guy leading and you kind of have to surrender to whatever they're doing? Or was it something else that you feel like maybe helped you learn that? Or
yeah, it could be that. And I think too, it's like probably talking to guys after coffee. Like it took a while, and I'll be the first to admit that I don't open up to a lot of people, and I probably still don't open up as much as what I should to F3 for what it's given to me, unfortunately. But there's a couple books and probably got them written down somewhere. The other one that comes to mind, abbreviate the name, is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't, like, that is probably the thing that helped me, you know, clear my mind the most, because you're not caring, but you are at the same time. Like it gives you different strategies to like, to work your way around some of that stuff.
That's really cool. Yeah, sort of this idea that you can surrender control, still maintain like compassion and empathy for the situation and the people, but you don't have to care so much, right? Yeah, I love that. Well, that's really cool. You know, I think of all, you know, we've been doing these interviews for a long time, and I think that's something that, you know, just reflecting back for me, like I know that's a benefit I've gained from, you know, like you said, just talking to other guys, hearing how they're dealing with stuff, but I don't know that I've fully given F3 some of the credit, or the guys in F3 the credit. I'm sure there's been COTs too that kind of hit me in a certain way around that topic, because control is a huge, huge thing for me. I, you know, if I just map out the plan, right, I can control, but the problem is other people are involved, right? You can't, it's hard to control other people. Well, you know, kind of segue into like the second F fellowship piece. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, like coming into the group, right? It sounds like you knew AB, Al Borland, but were there other guys that you kind of over time, you're like, oh, I know that guy. Or how'd you go about kind of building those relationships?
I don't know. There's a couple guys that I ended up running into over the years that it's like we would meet at like social functions for work or organizations that I had been a part of. And you'd see them and be like, Stitches. Got you. I know, like, and there's a lot of guys in like that my collegiate program that I went to, architectural engineering, and like that's kind of opened up, you know, Biff, Stitches, AB, Mamie, you name, like the list goes on and on for the guys. Truly, all of those guys, and Motorboat, he was just on here, or I just listened to his podcast a couple of days ago. So I think, and you know, as you meet different guys and then you kind of run into them in at least social aspects, just out and about, or, you know, work functions. Like Motorboat and I are in the same industry. Trulli and I are both engineers. You kind of recognize those people, but I don't know that I specifically knew a whole lot of people outside of Al Borland beforehand.
Yeah. Did it take you a while before you went to coffee, or was that sort of, did you go to coffee after the Helix that first day, or maybe they might've had on-site coffee, right? Depending on who was.
Yeah. September is probably warm enough. It was probably on-site coffee would be my guess. I don't specifically remember. I've been pretty reserved on coffee. I like my time in the morning, and I'm an early person into the office. So like, that's like my golden hour or two before anybody else gets in. I like to get in early. So I probably didn't take advantage of coffee as early as I should have, but trying to be better about that, looking at my day ahead, that if I don't need to be somewhere else, to try to participate in that where I could.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like too, and I've struggled with this too, right? Because I'm a morning person, and you, I don't know if you've done this, but you can kind of do some like journaling or math and find out your peak productivity hours, like your personal prime time is what this one book I read was called, right? So my peak time is like those morning hours when, you know, and so for me, I used to be the same way where it's like, that's when I get my actual work done, right? And so that's,
I know for sure that my peak hours are like 6 to 8 because it is, no one else is in the office. I jam through the hardest thing at the beginning of the day, or at least try to. And then, cause after that, it just goes downhill. Phone starts ringing, emails fly through, you name it. And the world just kind of ends after that till the next morning.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what, you know, and it's interesting, I'm thinking of the number of engineers or different guys in that space. We can almost do a pop-up with just all the guys that work in that industry. But curious, do you feel like you got the fellowship piece just from the beatdowns or the pre-runs and that sort of stuff? Like you were able to, it sounds like you were able to get connected with some guys. Yeah,
I think you start, you know, kind of once you start talking to, you know, there's guys that are not like me. I'm a pretty introverted person, as most engineers are. There are some extroverted ones out there for sure. But as people start talking to you and you kind of, you'll be talking to somebody else and they'll come up and join your conversation. And then you start learning about who they are. And then it's just, oh, you run into the Helix and the Berm or Badger Point, you know, you name it. And you just start to develop that relationship. I think that, yeah, it's definitely the fellowship part helped. Yeah, pre-running, things like that.
Yeah,
and perfect. Talking to guys at coffee.
I do think one of the important pieces, right, is because not everybody's able to go to coffee, right? Some guys have to be at work, you know, right after the workout, or, you know, or can just go to a pre-run, or, you know, and I guess what I've always encouraged guys to just come out for what you can participate in, you know, and, you know, I think you'll get something out of it either way, right? You know, coffee may be where a lot of people find that second half, but it's not the only place where you can find it. So I love that you've been able to find it in other spaces. I would be curious about like Shield Lock, or just like, you got that core group of guys, maybe 2-3 guys that you feel like you can confide in, or have you been able to get to that level yet?
I don't know that I've kind of gotten to that level yet. Have talked to guys and been to some coffee where, you know, TNT, you know, they talk about Shield Locks a couple times, wait time, and a couple of those guys have kind of talked about, you know, here's the, you know, benefits of it, you know, kind of the criteria, things like that. One of the things that I don't know if I call it a struggle would be 35 now, just had my first kid, I think, and professionally I meld better with like guys that are older than me, you know, above my age. And I've kind of been that way. Like I, you know, can associate with people that are in their, you know, 10 years, 15 years older than me. But personally, I'm, you know, maybe not, you know, you've got multiple kids. I just had my first kid. So it's like you have the same professional experiences and things that you can talk about, but personal is kind of on a lesser level than that. So I don't know if that's necessarily made the Shield Lock venture challenging for me, but that's kind of like what comes through my head when I think about it.
Yeah, totally. I think you're spot on. You know, I was sort of still actively in a shield lock with some guys, but it's like they've got older kids and we just had a baby, right? So then we're sort of like, schedule doesn't line up, or like I need to be home and they're able to hang out no longer for coffee, that sort of thing. Definitely an important piece. I do think, you know, like you're saying, there's still a lot you can glean from guys in, you know, in those, you know, conversations in that second half space. And I would be curious, as you're thinking about, you know, this other sort of piece of the fellowship, we talk about the Concentrica model, right? So, you know, your M in the center, and now you've got a 2.0. How's that going? How's that adjustment? What's been anything surprising to you about having a baby in the house?
I don't know. I think right now I'm just like trying to figure out when we can best get sleep is kind of the mantra right now. But I think, you know, just talking about Concentrica a little bit, like starting up F3 and having guys talk about, like, you know, prioritizing like family, your family, which at that time would be my aunt, or like just immediate family and family gatherings. I think I started to focus on that a lot more, you know, than what I used to. I mean, to me, I've said this multiple times, you know, I'm work oriented person, which gets me to good places in a professional standpoint, but there are some times where family definitely takes a sideline, which when it shouldn't probably.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to work on that, you know, the last couple of years here, still in progress, just because, like, you know, my aunt and her family are here, but, you know, my family is back in Indiana. I've got a younger sister, my parents, you know, that I've definitely, you know, technology helps that, you know, calling it once a week, FaceTime, things like that, and then trying to get together and make time. That's something that I'm personally trying to work on here and getting better at.
Yeah, that is the rub, right? And I think the challenge, I can't remember, I think it's somewhere in, maybe it's in Free Delete, or maybe it's just in some of the episodes that Dread and Dark Helmet did, but they would always talk about, like, for guys, you know, we get so much positive feedback almost instantaneously from work, right? So work is telling you, like, you're doing a good job, or that project went well, or that thing you worked on was a success. But you don't always get that same feedback from your wife or your kids, or, you know, so it's just, so we gravitate to like the place that's giving us the most feedback. And so that's what I've, you know, I still struggle with that. And it's, I think it's just, you know, part of our daily work that we got to make sure we're checking in on. I don't know that I found a perfect rhythm there. I'll let you know if I do.
That'd be great, because I'm looking for the best solution there as a person that likes to optimize a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would be curious, I guess, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but did you get married later, or talk us through, like, your 35 having your first kid? Was that just a choice? Did you guys have some challenges there, or what led to that? Just curious.
Definitely got married later. Married 2018, 6 years as of July. 29. So pretty Midwesternly, that's later.
Yeah.
And then I think it was just like, I'm a pretty financially driven person. And so I think we were trying to search for stability in that realm before we took on this new adventure.
Yeah.
We probably could have done it sooner, but it just got to the point and we're like, no, wait, I don't know. We went on a big trip for 10 years at my company, went to Bora Bora. And then after that, it's just like, oh, I don't know, maybe we could try to start to have a family. And here we are a couple months later after that, and, you know, looking at a stick with a couple lines on it.
There you go. Well, yeah. Well, and you know, it's cool. I was just more curious than anything. My wife and I dated for 10 years before I could convince her to marry me. So that's, you know, and who knows what we're thinking having another baby, you know, but, you know, you're making it cool again. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm doing right on with you here. Weeks old and not months and years old.
Yeah. It, you know, I had somebody tell me one time they were asking me, how's the new baby? And I said, well, it just keeps, you know, it keeps getting better. And they said, don't say that. It doesn't keep getting better. It just keeps getting different, because it always changes. So you'll enjoy it. And what a blessing, right? I think something I've learned in F3, or that guys have been, you know, willing to share, is just the number of people that do struggle having kids. And so to be able to have a kid, I've come to realize is just, it's a really great honor and responsibility. So I have no doubt you guys do well. And how smart of you, right? Like how great would things be if more people waited till they were financially stable to have kids? So kudos there.
Yeah. That's just the way I'm driven, but you know, it does surprise me that people that they like families first, and maybe family comes above all that other stuff and money. And you know, people don't, maybe a lot of people are happy with, you know, nine or 10 kids, a lot of kids, and they don't need to make a lot of money, and they're, you know, could be perfectly content. Me, that's kind of my safety blanket there.
Yeah.
Just make sure I can pay for things and take care of my family.
Yeah. Kids aren't cheap. That's for sure. And you know, I think Cataracts, you know, I think he just puts his kids to work. I think that's how he makes it work on their end. But
there's a lot of chores that you can get around the house with 9 kids.
Well, tell me, curious, what does your wife think about this kind of crazy group that you've joined? Does she think you're strange, or does she like it, or is she supportive? What's that like?
I think she's indifferent. I think she thinks that some days that I'm crazy, you know, I'll go to bed super late, and then she's like, well, what time are you getting up? I was like, oh, you know, I think I got to get up at like 4:15 in order to make the Ocho or something. And she's like, oh, so early. And she's like, just silence your alarm or turn it down so I don't wake up, because she usually gets up before the baby. It was like 5:15. So, you know, I'll wake her up an hour beforehand. I will say, you know, getting the alarm on the smartwatch and not on your phone was a game changer, because it just vibrates on my wrist and then doesn't wake her up. But she hasn't really said anything about it other than the last couple of weeks. I'm like, I think this window could work and I can get up. She's like, how many hours of sleep have you had? Like 4. She's like, you probably should just sleep in. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm a huge advocate for the smartwatch alarm. I don't, I have to do that too. But sometimes I'll sleep through that, you know, easier than my phone going off. But wow, that, yeah. You know, I think it's just cool to hear like kind of this journey that you've been on. And I appreciate you sharing all that, because I didn't realize you had all that stuff going on in 2022 or 23, right? It was 2022, I think you said.
Yeah, but late 22. Yeah.
You know, a lot of this, right, kind of just life in general, there's sort of this third F component, right, of, you know, maybe it's, there's kind of two pieces with F3, right? There's the kind of the, I don't know, spiritual side, and then there's also like the community side. Talk us through what's been your life kind of journey in that space.
Yeah, so I guess spiritually, I grew up in a Catholic family. I had, you know, always used to go to church every Sunday. I signed up through, you know, whatever it was, Wednesday afternoon CCD classes at night, you know, and I just kind of went along with that. One of the biggest, I don't know if it was a drivers for me away from the faith in general, was just like, why are my parents forcing me to go to these classes on Wednesday night? Like, I just don't want it. Maybe I just, as a teenager, went into it with a negative attitude, as most teenagers do for some things, or being rebellious against your parents. I don't know what it was, but I just kind of fell out of it and don't, you know, I don't believe in it and don't really practice it though. And, you know, I kind of kept it up, and you know, my grandma was a huge, very religious person, so we'd always, whenever we visit her, you're always going to church on Sunday morning, you no matter what. And you know, she passed a couple years ago, 2018, and I just kind of fell off my radar. My parents don't really do it anymore, so whenever I go home, it's just, you know, Sunday rolls around and we just, you know, it's we're gonna make breakfast. And, you know, we do that as a family, and it's not just kind of in our routine. And I guess my wife is not very religious, so just not really practicing anything at the moment. So it's kind of a void, but, you know, it's not something that I would be against pursuing if for some reason, you know, an opportunity came around that, you know, we wanted to start going back to church or whatever it might be.
Yeah. You know, I think what's interesting is just how many guys like that's the journey, you know, and, you know, sort of the different seasons of life kind of, you know, you kind of drift in and out. And I know for a lot of guys, like having a kid, right, you kind of start thinking about what you want to sort of, you know, get them involved in. And so, you know, it'll be interesting as your son grows and kind of, you know, working with your wife, what direction you guys decide to go. It is sort of an interesting dynamic, right? Where you're like, why are they forcing me to go? You know, think about that sometimes with our kids, because we're sort of old school, like, you will sit through church. And I'm like, sometimes we're sitting there and I'm like, why did we come today? Nobody's hearing anything that's being said. And, you know, so yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you just got to watch. It's like, I don't have older kids, but I've talked to some guys. It's like, well, if you tell them that they have to do something, well, they're just going to want to do the exact opposite. So like, do they 10 years down the road, you know, go turn a complete 180 from what you wanted them to do? And is mm-hmm. that the best thing? So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But
have you found, do you feel like through F3, do you feel like you've found any just sort of connection there from a sort of higher power, God sort of faith perspective? Has that kind of provided any sort of fill of the void for you personally?
I mean, like I said, I believe in it. And I think one of the biggest things that, and the prayer coming around is, you know, I kind of look forward to it because it's like, been called on a couple times to make prayers at the end of it, which is perfectly fine. And, you know, I just got to remember all the things that people have talked about. You know, if anything, that helps, like in the back of my mind, somebody comes up and like, hey, would you, you know, pray us out at the end? I'm paying attention so that you like remember, and it kind of sinks into you and think it helps you get that connection. But as far as, you know, I don't know that it's like, you know, this week, because I prayed, you know, during the Badger Point, I'm going to go to church. I don't know that it gives me that connection, but like, it's upstart. And kind of the experience.
You know, what's so cool to me is some guys will, you know, maybe they don't go to church and they're not sure what they believe, but their sentiment is like the prayer and the COTs and just sort of being connected with other people out in nature. Like there's definitely something there, right? That you can sort of feel. And, you know, and I think even just that is just having that sort of thing on a regular basis is so impactful. You know, this morning I was at Canopy and we prayed for Nailed It, who lost his sister this week. And just thinking about that, being able to lift somebody up, right? Even if maybe the God we're praying to is different, but we're in the same circle and we're just supporting a guy in our community that we care about. You know, it's just such a powerful thing. And what's interesting to me is like, you don't really see churches doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, like it's, I don't know. I made a comment this morning of like, this just doesn't happen anywhere else. So I think there's just getting to be a part of that. It to me is pretty special, regardless of all the different beliefs and, you know, religions that are in the circle.
Yeah. I never thought about it, but that way. Yeah. Kind of like our own, you know, we're there to support each other. And if somebody's got something on their mind that they, you know, just want to bring up and looking for some additional support, yeah, that's a great place to do it. Cause like, yeah, you go to church and person sitting next to you might know them, but maybe you're not going to tell them, you know, I'm really having a hard time with this, or my mom is having a hard time with this, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Hey, Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. Question for you. Are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P-Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right. What about on the sort of the community service or like some of the volunteer events? Have you had a chance to get out and do any of those?
I have. I've been down to Heartland Hope a couple times and participated in a few others here over the years. I like to do the community involvement stuff. I think the easy button is always just like, here, you guys can, you know, take some money sometimes when you're not available to do that, and happy to do that, and actually always try to look forward for more of those opportunities, whether it's donations of whatever, of money or your time. It's just hard to try to fit those into the schedule sometimes, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, try to get out there and do those when I'm able.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's hard, right? Because there's so many things that show up, like, and now with announcements, right, we're just saying check Slack, because there's too much to even remember or regurgitate. But I think you know, and hopefully guys realize, right, it's, you know, you're just as much a part of the group if you can do one of those things or none of those things or all of those things, or, you know, we're just trying to present the opportunities to make it a little bit easier. But, you know, I know, you know, especially with the younger kids, it's sort of like, yeah, I don't know that we're going to make it out to that. So the easy button of, you know, write a check or, you know, give blood, that sort of thing seems to be at least where we're at the current season. But well, I love it. And just, you know, I just think your journey is just cool to hear, you know, and I think you should be just proud of where you're at. I think you're in a good spot to be, you know, leaning into this fatherhood thing and supporting your wife through being a new mom. And so I'm excited to just see what's to come for you guys. I do want to get your thoughts, you know, so we've got this mission of invigorating male community leadership, right? And we try to do that through like a VQ, and then we give you opportunities to lead a site. And you kind of mentioned this earlier a little bit about, I feel like you had some growth opportunities there. Talk us through, like, you got to launch a site in kind of a new part of town. What was that like at Bunstown?
It was a different experience. To be honest, I wasn't sure how it was going to go in the beginning. I remember talking to you. You're like, you know, maybe we're looking for another site, you know, up in Bennington, because maybe you'd already talked to Stripes about Badger Point. I was just like, sure. I mean, I'm kind of a go with the flow type person. Not really. Every once in a while, I'll pursue some ideas, things like that. But it ended up being a cool experience, and probably came at a really good time personally, just from, you know, getting to, you know, you call it leadership and organization of people, and, you know, kind of developing in a community, kind of definitely helped me in my professional scenario here over the last year or two, just kind of starting to lead others underneath me.
Nice.
Not to say that everybody that was queuing underneath me is underneath me, but just the aspect of organization and leadership in general has come in handy. And I think the CoQ, I've heard this on a couple different podcasts, the CoQ was a huge help in just trying to do that from a time management perspective, and, you know, kind of breaking up the responsibility of it a little bit. I know there's not much that goes, you know, once you get the hang of it, there's not much, and it kind of flows on its own, but that helped a lot and made it, the transition easy. And, you know, reaching out into a new community is great. You know, I think Stripes and some of those guys are a little more, in depth in that Bennington community that I am. You know, I do have or had a Bennington address, and I do live in Bennington school district, but I don't have kids. So it's not like I participate in a lot of the school functions and things that go on in the Bennington community. So I'm not as tight knit with some of the folks in that realm, but it was a cool experience to be able to branch out the organization, you know, from, you know, one site. Then 2 weeks later, we had two sites. Now we've got a third site. It's cool to see that. And then just people that you never see anywhere else come out from the community, and then they just keep posting and accelerating. It's cool to witness.
Yeah, I have not interviewed Stripes yet, but for the record, Stripes was adamant that his Bennington site would be the first, and so that, you know, I think led to some of the delay maybe there, and then we were talking about, you know, and what ultimately, and this was I think it ended up being Sparty's idea, was, you know, what if, so historically, right, we go into a new area and we've launched a Saturday site. That's kind of been the rhythm. But we said, well, what if we do two? What if we, in the same week, we launch a Tuesday site and a Saturday site? And I'll tell you, it seems to have worked really well in that area. You know, and you had sort of a character of a CoQ, right, in Duff Ridge, just a great guy. I have interviewed him. I'm curious, did you guys know each other before we paired you up as CoQs? Not at all.
Not at all.
Okay.
Nope. I maybe ran across him once at another beat down, but no, we did not know each other beforehand.
Yeah. How did that go, building that relationship over the year?
I think it was great. I hear some guys that talked about, you know, yeah, we've been friends forever, and we, you know, you kind of like, their experience is a little different. I think one of the big things that was good is, like, I think we ham and egged pretty well is kind of my analogy for it. Like, I'm the guy that likes to run and do, you know, the ultra crazy fitness stuff. And he, you know, he refers to himself like the Clydesdales need to come back together. Like, I think we pulled two kind of different groups of people into the site, you know, cause he's, you know, I kind of go with some of the guys that like to do a lot of running and things like that and get those guys out on the Saturday site. And he kind of goes out and does, you know, looks at, you know, guys that maybe want to ruck, or he does. I know he posts a lot in the Central District, so he gets all those guys, you know, Baby Back and some of those guys to always come up, which is just, those guys are great to come up, and they just change up the pace a little bit. Cause me, I'm push as hard as possible, you know, for, you know, whoever wants to come out and challenge themselves. And then those guys, they do a great workout that is not as high impact. And that's hard for me to envision. Like when I come up with a workout, you know, sometimes I'd be on the queue and it's like, oh, you see a guy that's injured. I'm like, okay, how can you modify this? Still give somebody a hard workout, but keep everybody, you know, together. Yeah. You know, those are the things that kind of go through. And I struggle with that personally. And those guys bring it and they do it all the time and they do it really well.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. Fridge commented on that too when I was talking with him, and just the ham and egg, like you said, you know, being able to draw different types of guys, you know, and of course, Fridge is no burpee rule, which everybody loves. But curious if you have any advice for guys that are maybe taking over a flag or leading a site, anything come to mind there that you feel like worked well for you guys that you think others should consider?
I mean, PaxNet makes scheduling people a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. I'm just trying to think, you know, one of the things that I think that helped me, and I don't know that we implemented this the best, maybe Fridge thinks differently, is like we would, it probably took us a good 6 months that I, like, before I started like just creating a list of like who was new, like FNGs that came out to our site. So like, you know, one day I just went through like Twitter X and just like looked at videos and then figured out who those guys were, you know, get their information, and then just like keeping a list of that to not only kind of keep track of them, but make sure that they're out here again to like get their VQ on the books. Because if you lose track of that stuff, you know, those guys just kind of, they can disappear into the crowd and maybe they don't get a VQ, or like 6 months goes by and you're like, yeah, you want a VQ? He's like, oh yeah, I've been waiting to do it, but nobody's really asked me, or some stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to look. I feel like, you know, our PaxNet support team just is churning out enhancements. So they've got weekly queues on there, but it would be a good addition if you had a little drop down. You could see all the guys that their first post was at each AO. We'll get that on the enhancement list for sure.
Yes.
Well, you know, the other question I have for you about Bunstown, talk us through succession planning. Like, was that just a really easy choice with High Point, Low Point, or how'd you guys land on that?
I, you know, run and getting to know those guys, both High and Low Point, I think, you know, High Point is like a staple of Bennington. From what I've found out, he just kind of has his hands in everything and knows everybody. I mean, one day I remember, he's like, oh, I kept running this branch by the high school. I then comes to find out the week later, he like cut the branch down when he was on his way by because nobody else would do it. So like he's a great guy. And then I think when we were kind of looking at the fact that it had to be a kind of a co-queue, or maybe that was the interest to keep the co-queue going, that it was, you know, they might've been the obvious choice, just high and low points.
The points. Yeah. Yep. The points. I love it. That's awesome. Well, I think it's cool, and appreciate you taking on the opportunity to lead. You know, I think Saturday sites are hard, right? And just schedules and all of that. And so I think the two of you being able to stick with it and get us going in that community was awesome. And it's going really well. The biggest challenge we have now is every site in Bennington seems to have more than 20 guys showing up every day.
Yep. I've been looking at videos and I'm like, man.
Now
we need to start another site, or maybe it's a 6 a.m., 7 a.m. for Bunstown or something.
Yeah, there you go. We could do that for sure. Well, anything else that maybe we didn't get to cover that you feel like you want to share or get off your chest or anything in that space?
I should have made some notes, but
you're fine.
Came into this just winging it.
Well, I do think kind of where we like to land is the, you know, where do you currently need prayers and support or encouragement? So when you are able to post, when we see you out there, where should we start? Where should we ask you about? What should we be thinking about for you?
Well, my Em is going to be the first one. She's taken on a lot here lately, and that going back to work has put just that much more on her. So prayers for her. But, one thing I guess I kind of keep pretty much to myself, but probably prayers that is most needed is for my mother and my mother. They both deal with a lot on a daily basis. And this is kind of, I mean, I've mentioned this in some COTs that I've gone through, but both my father and my father-in-law struggle with Parkinson's. I know that, I think as Urkel was on here a couple weeks ago that I listened to, that he had his father had passed away from Parkinson's. And like, that's, that weighs heavy on myself in the back of my mind on a daily basis. So there's been some struggles and trying to make more room for family in my life. That's one of the big reasons for that push.
Yeah. Well,
prayers for that.
And you said earlier, one of them lives here in town and the other one's back in Indiana. So that's, yeah.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. My dad lives back in Indiana, and then my M's parents live about an hour east of here.
Okay. Definitely be praying for you on that. It's just seeing a loved one go through a sort of progressive type disease or illness like that is never easy. That's for sure. Well, man, this has been great. You know, just getting to hear your story and, you know, appreciate you opening up, being vulnerable. And, you know, I'm excited for you guys with this new baby. I'll be curious next time I see it to hear how it's going. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe by then you guys will be thinking about number two. You know, who knows?
It's across my mind. I don't think I'm the one you have to convince, though.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Well, here, we'll do a little name-a-rama to close it out. I'll start. Brandon Flea Hardy.
Blake. Brandon at 35, House Party.
And have we come up with a call sign or anything for you yet?
Fridge has been pushing for like the dance party. It's like, like I hear him throw it out there every time he's there when I post. So
nice.
I don't know if it's caught on yet, but
okay, we'll have to make it catch on. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, man. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.